Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 139. That's right, 139. Magazines for Wargamers. So I want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike. This is our 139th episode. I'm sure that you're going to enjoy this, but this isn't really probably what you're expecting. I want to, before I talk about that, I want to just let you know that all the stuff that we will talk about in this episode, everything I'm going to cover, you can find in the show notes. I know a lot of you like to listen while you're at work or you're commuting. Some of you like to listen while you're out exercising and all that kind of stuff. You can't always just have that time to remember all the little things that I cover in an episode. I get that. So just remember this one thing. You don't have to remember anything else, just this one thing. The show notes can be found at wargamingrecon.com/WR139. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR139. So I would say this is probably not the kind of episode that you're expecting. I bet that some of you at least are thinking, oh, Jonathan's going to talk about wargaming magazines that we should read, ones that are worth spending our time with, things like Miniature Wargames and Wargame Soldiers and Strategy, Wargames Illustrated, all that sort of stuff. If you're thinking that, you're going to have a bad time because this episode is not going to talk about those. I was very precise in the wording I used because I was worried that people would see what this title is for the episode, Magazines for Wargamers, and think, wow, okay, this has to be wargaming magazines. And what's the difference? Well, the ones that I'm covering are not wargaming magazines. They are not magazines like White Dwarf or No Quarter or any of that kind of stuff that will tell you about a war game. They're not attached to any of that kind of stuff. These are more intended for atmosphere. Some of them are going to be focused for historical gamers. Some will be for sci-fi fantasy gamers. Trying to give a more complete picture on this. Way, way, way back in, let's see, episode 82, I did an episode called Six Must-Read Magazines for Historical Wargamers. And in that, I talked about some wargaming magazines. I actually talked about Battle Games Magazine. I talked about Wargame Soldiers and Strategy. I talked about some other stuff. So I'm kind of using that as a jumping off point. I just want to say one more time before we get any further, because you might say, oh, I'm going to give this episode a try and I hope you do. Or you might be like, nah, I was coming to this because I wanted to hear about wargaming magazines. I am not going to recommend or discuss really any wargaming magazines, not in so far as it goes for the main topic of this episode. So without further ado, I want to dive into the first title I'm listing. And they're numbered, but they're not in numerical order. It's not, this one's better than that one. This is really just alphabetical order. Happens to be that I'm going to list six and a half really, but six magazines that I think you should check out that you might enjoy. The very first one is called Air and Space Smithsonian. This is one that would definitely be of interest to anybody who's into aeronautical combat. Check your six, any of that kind of stuff. Wings of War, Wings of Glory, any of those. If you want to have a greater flavor of air combat, you're going to want to look at this because this gets into the history of it. Yes, it's Air and Space Smithsonian, as in the American Smithsonian Museums, and of course the Air and Space Smithsonian Museum in particular, but it's actually focused more on the history of flight. So it covers a variety of different topics and eras from the beginning of flight all the way up to current day. For example, in a recent issue of this, let's see, at the time of recording, it was the April-May 2015 issue, I think it is. They did the whole issue devoted to World War II air combat. They talked about the strategic bombings of Germany and of Japan. They cover Battle of Britain. They covered all sorts of stuff. And one of the cool things in the magazine was that you were able to get this pullout kind of thing that came out, and it was silhouettes of different planes. And it was used with, I believe, the RAF. I could be wrong, but it was used for the RAF to help people, pilots in particular, to identify what other planes were. Because if you're flying in the air and you have cloud cover, whatever, you happen to get a glimpse and you're looking down, you see this other plane, you might not know what it is, but if you learn what these outlines are, You learn what the silhouettes are. It allows you to say, oh wait, this is that type of plane. This is that. And then you can radio back to base and tell them this is what it was, or if you shoot it down, or and all that kind of stuff. You're able to keep track of it. And so it's very important for the home office, right? Because then they can learn what was used and get strengths for the opposition. And I thought it was just kind of cool that the magazine had it in that. And then they also had another article in another issue that was talking about the men who man the strategic air missiles of North Vietnam. So here we go. We're going in a completely different direction. You're going from World War II all the way up to Cold War kind of stuff to present day. What is it in North Vietnam? And of course, North Vietnam not present now, but was Cold War, right? So you get to dive into that. And obviously, it's not going to be the same for North Vietnam, rather, as it is for other countries. But it kind of gives you a glimpse into the ICBM core for the different nations and what do they have. And this, of course, the same launchers. They're not ICBMs, but you get a look at their missile core and you get a look to see how would they going to have these defensive weapons in place for when their opponents would fly in and send aircraft, and how do you deal with that? And I think one of the really cool things about this magazine is that not only does it kind of give you the setting for all of this, but it immerses you so that you can feel closer to the topic that you're gaming. And that's one of the cool things. A lot of people, especially a lot of historical gamers, when they're gaming, let's say you're doing Ancients gaming, and you're really into the ancient world, and you're playing Hail Caesar, right? I have Hail Caesar. I have my ancient Romans. I really want to get more involved with it. I don't want to just have my stuff on the table. I want to be a better wargamer by understanding what was going on and then understanding about the military and the tactics and the way they thought and how would they do it, so that I can kind of see maybe that would make me perform better on the table. Maybe that would give me more enjoyment. It's the same thing with this, because then you can look at what's going on and you can really just be part of it. And then you can take that with you, take those experiences and what you learn, and then you can bring it onto the table so that when you put your forces down on that tabletop and you're playing Wings of War or Chicky Six or any of those things, you can really think what the real people were probably thinking when they were doing these amazing things. When you're playing Flames of War and you're calling in air support, you can say, whoa, this is what was going on. This is when I would use air support. This is where, and not just from a I'm going to win standpoint, this not from a attorney mindset, but really from a full comprehensive view of the game and what it represents. Because it's not just a game. I mean, it is, right? But it's beyond that. It's a reflection on what actually happened. Or in the case of sci-fi fantasy, what could happen, what exists in our collective imaginations, what exists in the creator's imagination. So it blends all of that. And I think it's amazing. And Air and Space Smithsonian is a title that is very accessible, has great imagery, colors, and all sorts of stuff. So you can really get into it. And a lot of libraries have it. So you don't have to buy the magazine. It'd be so expensive to buy subscriptions to all these magazines, even if you got them digitally. But if you're able to get them through your local library and you're able to read them there or to check them out and bring them home, that's huge, because it allows you to sample all sorts of stuff. And maybe not every issue is going to appeal to you, but maybe there's that Air and Space Smithsonian issue about World War II that you really want. You don't care about the articles on the same launches of North Vietnam, but you would prefer World War II, or vice versa. So you can kind of just pick and choose, and it's really cool for that. The second one that I want to talk about is called American History. Okay, I know I'm starting off with two American magazines, and you might be listening and thinking, I'm not American. I've never been to America. I don't really have an interest in that. Don't worry. I have other things that are going to be coming up. But American History is a really cool magazine because it has a lot of great maps, illustrations. It has really good photos, very thoughtful writing. It covers just about everything. It covers land, it covers sea, it covers air, it covers times of war, it covers times of peace. So you're able to get the military aspect of it, but you're also able to get the cultural aspect. You can get the societal, you can get the religious, you can get everything, and it blends it all in a package that is accessible, right? Accessibility is very important. One of the things I talk about a lot here on the show is community, sense of community and the importance of it. The other kind of buzzword for me is accessibility. Is it easy to get into this? Is there a high learning curve for a game? Is there a lot you gotta do before you can get value out of whatever it is you're interacting with? And in the case I'm talking about American history, do you have to have like PhDs? You have to really be some high level whatever to get anything out of it? And who is the intended audience? This is intended for your everyday person who might have a cursory interest in history, in American history, but who wants to learn more. So not only do the articles cover a variety of different topics, for example, there was one that was really cool. It covered the last Confederate general from the American Civil War, and he was a Native American, I believe. So you have this Native American, Amerindian, a variety of phrases used to explain who these people are. And he was a Confederate general, and so it talked about him. It's really cool. And then at other times, they'll dive into the naval aspects. They'll dive into the War of 1812. They do a lot in particular with stuff before 1900. And yet they also will cover things like the civil rights. And you're thinking, well, why am I going to use the civil rights in a game? Maybe you're going to be doing a Cold War game, something in Vietnam. You're going to do Battlefront Vietnam. Maybe you want to make your homebrew game. And you want to add in about the home unrest, just like it really existed when we were in Vietnam here in the States. People here were not in favor. How do you inject that into a game if the population does not support what's going on the table front? Does that cause some sort of unrest? Does that cause units to be less willing to engage in actions? Because maybe the men don't want to fight and potentially die if the folks at home aren't going to support them. Maybe you don't get supplies as much. And if you're going to run a campaign, say you're doing a map-based campaign on something, this is very important, because if you have all this disturbance and unhappiness going on at home, that can interrupt your supply chain. You're not going to have the resources, all the different types of resources flowing out into your military machine, and that causes problems. And you can come up with this on your own, but I think it's even better, and I think it enhances it even more and allows you to be more creative if you're able to base it in some sort of reality. In life, they say, if you're going to lie, and I'm not suggesting that you lie, but if you're going to lie, that you should base it in a kernel of truth. Well, I think if you're going to modify a game, if you're going to make your own homebrew rules, you should base it in something that has solid foundation, some sort of reality, and then you can expand your creativity from that. And so you could take something like an article on the civil rights movement in America and then use that for your campaign and influence your campaign that way. And I think your players will pick up on it, and that they will then get more out of it and have more enjoyment. And then you too will have more enjoyment out of it. So that's the second one that I wanted to cover in this episode. Now, the third title is not historical anything. It's called Analog Science Fiction and Fact. It is, I believe, an American magazine. Now, this is very different for a lot of reasons. First of all, like I said, it's not historical. It doesn't have any of that kind of stuff. Second, it is not in color. No glossy photographs, no color illustrations. It's very much an old school style magazine. It's small. For those who are watching video of it, of me doing the live streaming recording, it's about, you know, yay tall, yay wide. And what it is all, or almost completely all, text. There are some illustrations in it, but it's predominantly short stories, poems, novels. There's serialized content. And then they also have what they call science fact. It's actual real science, not science fiction, but real stuff. And why am I recommending this? Especially, why am I recommending it for Wargaming Recon, where a lot of what I cover is historical content? So some of the area conventions here in New England, things like TotalCon, for example, there's not a whole lot of historical anything going on there. And what they do have is a lot of pulp. They have a lot of sci-fi, a lot of fantasy, and even other conventions, you get that pulp aspect of things. And you even have some things that do kind of blend into the sci-fi fantasy sort of stuff. And there are other conventions that are all sci-fi fantasy, 40K, fantasy, you got people playing Warmer Hordes and all that sort of stuff. This is for those people who are really into that. Why? Because you could read a Black Library book. You could read anything else. This is cool because, again, it gives you the fluff. It allows you to immerse yourself into some really cool new science fiction that's kind of has that taste and flavor of old school sci-fi. You can read a really amazing short story and think, this is a good idea. I want to use this for a role-playing game. I want to use this to influence what I'm going to do on the tabletop. I want to use this to have it as my setting for what's happening. A lot of this is most useful, I think, if you're either going to do some sort of homebrew game, you're doing an RPG, or you're going to do some sort of campaign. Maybe you want to have your 40K army be based off of a particular world that you've read about in an issue of Analog. Analog is really good also because some of the best American sci-fi fantasy that comes out that wins awards and everything, some of it, the only way you can find it is by getting Analog. It's the only place it's published. And I don't know why, I can't explain that, but it's here. And don't you really want to have access to the best that's out there? The best that can give you that setting, that can help you to have that creativity for that amazing world in which you can battle. Maybe you're a game designer and you think this property is really cool. I want to make a game based around it. Just think about the people who were like, Starship Troopers would be a cool game. I want to make a minis game out of it. Of course, I'm thinking, you know, Mongoose Publishing, but they like, I want to do this. They did it in part because of the books, the book rather, and in part because of the movies, but they loved what they read. They loved what they came across. GW did the same thing with fantasy. They love D&D, and D&D, of course, has that whole aspect of all that great old school sci-fi fantasy that helped to influence all of it. So it's amazing. And just think what those people were able to do with those other games. If you're a game designer, you could potentially do just by reading Analog science fiction and facts. So I think it's something that you can't ignore. It's very well done. It's affordable. It's a nice size. I had a subscription to it for a while. It was a gift that was given to me and I loved it. I looked forward to it. It comes out once a month and I'd get it. I couldn't wait to digest it. One of the things about it is it's not light in, it's light reading, right? But there's so much packed into it that you really have to just immerse yourself into it the way you would with a book. You get your issue and you open it up and go, oh, look, and then you have to read all of it. And I find it's just so gripping. Things that I wouldn't normally read are things that I loved in Analog science fiction, in fact. So that is my third recommendation. Now, before I move on to the fourth one, I just want to recap. The first was Air and Space Smithsonian. The second is American History Magazine. And then the third was Analog Science Fiction and Fact. So moving on, we have number four, Biblical Archaeology Review. Okay. Normally I try to steer clear of two things here on the show. I try not to talk about politics unless it's some sort of historical politics that pertains to the game that I'm talking about. I try not to talk about religion. Yes, I'm Catholic. I'm religious, but I don't want to make this show be about that. It's about other stuff and you don't have to be religious to enjoy Wargaming Recon. You don't have to be religious to enjoy Biblical Archaeology Review. I'm mentioning it for the historical wargamers who love the ancient world. This magazine does a great job of blending the real science that exists for archaeology and uncovering and understanding what happened in days gone by and bridging it with the Bible. Whether or not you believe whatever happened in the Bible doesn't matter. You don't have to believe it's true. You can believe it's all fake. It doesn't matter to me. Or you can believe that it actually is what it is. The important thing is that this magazine does a great job on the archaeology, great job on explaining what's going on in archaeology. It covers all sorts of digs and finds. It really helps you to feel like you understand and can understand the ancient world. You can see what's dug up, the pots that were used, and of course I'm saying pots, but like the clay pottery, the spoons and all that kind of stuff, things that were used in the home. You can understand the culture, the people, everything that allowed the military conquest to happen. And you can also understand all of that. They do a lot about the fighting that existed. And I believe they covered in an article, I think it was Masada, and about the Roman attack there against the Jews. And of course the, I don't want to ruin what happened there for anyone who's interested, but they were able to do a lot of excavations there. And it's covered in the magazine. So you can see this and you can understand what life was like for a soldier. You can get this elsewhere. But what makes this really cool is that it is intended for the average reader. It has a great blending of text, of articles, illustrations, photographs, and it has a nice glossy paper feel that people love. And it's accessible again. It is literally a non-sectarian bridge between science and religion. So if you're interested in the ancient world, like I am, I'm interested in ancient Rome in particular, as anyone knows who's been listening to a few episodes because of Hail Caesar. This is one that I like to look at. I like to look at some other magazines that kind of cover the same sort of stuff. And I've talked about some of them in other episodes, and I'm sure I'll talk about others in future episodes. But I want to place a highlight on Biblical Archaeology Review for this episode. So that is number 4. I really think it is incredibly useful to any ancient wargamer who wants to help set the stage, can learn a lot from this. You can do so by spending very little time with it. Like I said, it's intended for the average reader. It's very accessible. You can't go wrong. Number 5 on my list is History Today. This is a British publication. It is predominantly text. I think that although it is accessible, it kind of has a more authoritative tone. I don't want to use academic or scholarly to describe it because it's not on that level, but it's not far from removed. It's definitely for an audience who knows a little bit more about the different topics that it's covered, or at least the world at that time, and who wants a little more in-depth look, while also remaining open and easy-ish for the novice to pick up and read and understand and get excited about. So it has that nice bridge there, which is really cool. Not too long ago on, let's see, what do my notes say? My notes say December 2014 issue. They had a fantastic article that I think every wargamer should read. It was titled War Toys Then and Now. And it literally starts with the beginning of war toys in Britain, more or less, where it talks about tin soldiers and the wooden blocks that were used and how these sort of toy soldiers were for the rich because it was expensive to have this. And then how it progressed, and they talk more now about moving into things like even Legos and how Lego has this rule. And I had never known this, but Lego has a rule where they will not put any weapons on their Legos unless it is very old and historical, such as the medieval stuff, or it's a sci-fi fantasy sort of thing where it couldn't exist in the real world. So you will see it with the Star Wars stuff. You'll see it with like any of that. But you won't see it in what they call city there, their main set. Policemen are not armed in there. You can have a police person, little Lego figure, minifig, no weapon. They don't do tanks. They don't do attack helicopters or warplanes or battleships. They have no Lego sets for any of that because they're committed to a non-violent or as non-violent as possible approach to things. So I think that's interesting. And this article told me that, but it also covers all sorts of other things. It covers board games and everything, all sorts of quote unquote war toys, which is something I think any war gamer would be interested in. And it gives another view of the history of that, something that you may not necessarily get unless you would pick up a magazine like this. It is a title that comes out, I believe, once a month. It's very, very well done. And since it's British, and if you live outside of the UK, the cost of shipping and everything, I think, makes it a little more expensive. I know we get this at my work. I'm not quite sure what we pay. Of course, we would have a discount and everything. But it's worth picking up. It's worth thumbing through and reading. Again, check it out at your local library. Some libraries have it, especially if they have a large British population in that community. So it's worth looking into. I've learned about all sorts of different things. They had a few issues where one talked about the rise of the retail store in England, and another talked about why England really wanted to fight in World War One. And again, that's an oversimplification. I don't want to say like the British Empire was eager to fight in World War One. I'm not trying to say that, but like the reasons and motivations behind it. So you can get into the head and get into the psychology of this. Makes it cool to kind of understand the conflicts a little bit better. And I think you can take that back with you to the tabletop. So this is a title I highly recommend. And then before we get to number 6 on the list, let me just recap one more time. So the first one is Air and Space Smithsonian. It has all sorts of aeronautical history, helps you to get into the mindset of the pilots, the bombardiers, and the men and women who were engaged in these aerial combats throughout history. Number 2 is American History. It's focused, again, as the name suggests, on American history, but all aspects of it, the cultural, the societal, the military, it covers it all. It's really good, very accessible. Number 3 is Analog Science Fiction and Fact. This is great for any of you who are into sci-fi fantasy, into pulp gaming, any of that kind of stuff. If you like reading those Games Workshop Black Library books, you will love this. Trust me. If you love Game of Thrones, you will love this. You love Lord of the Rings, you will love this. It's just, it's amazing. One of my highest recommendations for just a magazine to get if you're into reading any sort of stories and fiction and that kind of stuff. Number four is Biblical Archaeology Review. As I said, the name is Biblical Archaeology Review, but the emphasis is not on biblical. The emphasis is on archaeology. It is a non-sectarian bridge between science and religion, and really the focus of it is on the archaeology of the ancient world of biblical times, the ancient realm. So if you're into any sort of ancient scheming, this is a title that you need to get your hands on. It just really helps you to better understand the ancient world. A caveat, though, that I should just mention, it just comes to mind now. Since it is biblical, you're not going to find really much of anything outside of what is covered in the Bible. So you're not going to find stuff about China or Japan or the New World. So if you're into ancient time periods for those areas or anything really outside of the Mediterranean and outside of Arabia, you're not going to find what you would hope. So in that way, it wouldn't be for you. But if you're into the Mediterranean world and what was going on in ancient times there, this is a title for you. And then I also mentioned number six was number five was History Today. It's a British publication. Very good. A little more in depth, which is nice to have and gets you into the mindset of what's going on. And then finally, number six, which I just outed myself on. Number six is Locus. This is another title for you sci-fi fantasy people. This is a fantastic magazine. Whereas Analog has fiction and stories to read, Locus is more of your traditional magazine. It has interviews with authors. It has lots of glossy photographs. It has tons of extensive lists that show you what titles are published. So this allows you to see what's coming out that you might want to pick up and purchase. I, for example, like to look at it to see what the Black Library is going to be putting out. Maybe there'll be a title that I want to look at, has stuff in that. And it also has just really great interviews and reviews. So you can get good coverage for conventions. You can get great coverage, like when Terry Pratchett passed away. They had a whole issue, of course, devoted to him, and great coverage about him and people who knew him and how he influenced the lives of so many authors and other people. You can get all of that. And it's a good gateway to get into other sci-fi fantasy stuff that helps you to find what you should read and what you should immerse yourself into. At the start of the show, I mentioned that I kind of had like a 6.5, I think is how I phrased it, 6.5 magazines that I wanted to mention in this episode. And I've covered the 6.5 is really just an update to episode 82. If you haven't listened to episode 82, I'm not really giving anything away by mentioning this, but in episode 82, I mentioned 6 magazines for historical wargamers. 2 of them were Wargame Soldiers and Strategy, and the other was Battle Games Magazine. Battle Games is no longer in print. It's actually become part of Miniature Wargames Magazine, edited by Henry Hyde. So I wanted to say that if you listen to episode 82, you might think, well, how can I get Battle Games? The closest that you can do, other than buying the back issues of it, which you can buy from Henry Hyde, direct, I believe, actually, you can get PDFs of them. But if you want your hands on a print version of it, the closest thing you can get is Miniature War Games. It's Henry's new title, and it's not new, but it's new for him to be involved with it. You can pick it up. It's has all the things you loved about Battle Games Magazine, but with a new cover, a new title, and all this kind of stuff. So wanted to recommend that for all of you. And speaking of that, we come to the end of the main segment, and let's move on to another part of the show that I love to do. It's the mailbag section of the show. This is where I take comments that I have received from you, the listener, whether it was through email or social media like Facebook or Twitter. You could have sent a voicemail, a variety of different ways you can get in touch. But I got a comment, and I'm going to share it here on the show. So today we have some feedback from Facebook, some mailbag listener comments. So listener Matthew had posted on Facebook a response to episode 128. He says, quote, Yay! I've been listening for a while now. I always keep your Paper Terrain episode around as a reference if I need it, unquote. So Matthew, thank you very much for sending the comment and interacting with us on Facebook. And I'm glad that you love the Paper Terrain episode. I think it was a really good one, and a lot of people just seem to like it. Episode 128, though, not devoted to Paper Terrain. That one, it just kind of covered what I had hoped to talk about in the 2015 podcast season, but all sorts of really cool stuff. I did do an episode, Wargaming on the Cheap, way back, where one of the things I talk about is using Paper Terrain as a way to wargame on the cheap. So Matthew, thank you for your comments, and you can get all sorts of really good Paper Terrain out there. Check out Wargame Vault. That would be wargamingrecon.com/store. That'll take you to our part on Wargame Vault, but you can find all sorts of really good Paper Terrain on there. And then Sigur Squirrel of Battlebrush Studios commented on a posting we had on Facebook where we happened to just talk about that you can get a digital subscription to Wargame Soldiers and Strategy for a great price. And he said, quote, great magazine cover too, unquote. And I can't agree with you more. WSNS always does a fantastic job of having beautiful illustrations throughout the book, beautiful photographs, and their covers are always eye-catching. And that's one of the things you want with the magazine. You want something where if it's on a newsstand and a potential customer's walking by, they see your cover and they go, oh, wait, let me stop. Look at that. I got to get, and then they get excited and they pick it up and they thumb through and hopefully they purchase it. So WSNS always does a good job with that. And actually, speaking of them and speaking of that posting, I want to remind everyone that we have a great affiliate relationship with the, them over there at Current Soundwave Publishers. You can get a great deal with them. A 1-year digital subscription will cost you the low price of $16.95 American. Yeah, that's a whole year's worth of issues. I tell you, when I pick it up and print, it's $9 American per print physical issue. Just like you can get a whole year of digital access to this. You have the PDFs, you get them, you own them, you download them. A whole year for $16.95. That's less than what I would spend on just a few physical issues of it buying it at the newsstand. It's a win-win. If you use our special affiliate link, wargamingrecon.com/WSSdigital, not only are you going to get this great deal, $16.95 American for a whole year digital subscription to the magazine, but we'll also get a little thank you from them for sending you to them. So they'll give us a little financial thank you, which helps keeps the show on the air and all that kind of stuff. So if you're into this and interested in maybe getting a 1-year digital sub, you can't go wrong. I've had it. I love it. Like I said, $16.95 American for a whole year. Use that affiliate link, wargamingrecon.com/WSSdigital. And then we also have a great affiliate relationship with Audible. Audible is a fantastic company. It's an Amazon company, actually. So you know they care about customer service and about making sure that you're satisfied. Now, as a listener of the show, you get a great deal. You get a free audiobook plus a free month trial to Audible. You sign up by going to wargamingrecon.com/audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E. That'll get you signed up 1 month free plus your free audiobook. You cancel at any time. So you can get your free audiobook and say, you know, it's not for me. You cancel. No harm, no foul. You get your audiobook. Keep it. It's yours no matter what happens. Or you say, I love the service. You keep it going. You pay that low, low price each month. And then every month you get another audiobook as part of that. You can't go wrong. They have fantastic audiobooks there. As you know, I'm a huge reader. I work in a library. I love to read. But with the baby, I don't have a whole lot of time to read a regular physical book. So my time's limited for that. But what I do is I listen to audiobooks. I can listen to them when I'm at work. I can listen to them when I'm commuting. Audible has tons of amazing audiobooks. I'm finishing up Becoming Steve Jobs right now. And then the next one I'm going to listen to is Jurassic Park. Yeah, because the movie Jurassic World is out, and I'm a big fan. I've never listened to it. I've read it. It's by Michael Crichton, fantastic, suspenseful thriller, but never listened to it. So I thought I'd give it a try. They have tons of amazing books on there. I think it's something like 20,000 different titles, and I'm probably wrong. I think it's even more than that, but they have so many audiobooks on there that you can get. You get your pick. You choose whichever one you want for free. You get your free 1 month trial. wargamingrecon.com/audible. So our thanks to these great companies for their affiliate relationships. And if you do use that link for Audible, not only do you get your free audiobook, you're asked to keep no matter what in your free 1 month trial. But if you do use that, Audible sends us a little thank you. They send us, I think it's $15, 15 American, as thanks for sending you to them just for you trying the service. No commitment. Doesn't cost you anything and gives a little money to us and helps us to keep the show going here. So I hope you will give that a try. And like I said, there's just so many great audiobooks there at Audible that you can give a try. And now I just have a few announcements. First of all, I want to remind everyone, the live page is where it's at. I'm having a little bit of difficulty right now. One of the things that we use that makes it possible for you to watch the live streaming episodes on the live page is on the Fritz. It needs to be updated by the people who created it, so we're working with them to try to see if we can get that to happen. But even without that, you can still go there because we have that chat room. It's there 24/7. You can hang out in there. You can chat with other listeners. You can chat with me. And you can also use it to leave a message. You can put a message there. It is public, but you can leave a message there and it stays there so that the next time someone pops in, they see your message and they can respond and all that kind of stuff. So it's very, very cool. That is wargamingrecon.com/live. It works on mobile devices, your iPhone, your Android devices, tablets, all that kind of stuff. You just go to it and you can interact with me and you can also interact with me and with other members who guests who come on when we're doing a live stream. So for example, as I record this episode, it's being live streamed out and I'm in the chat room and I can chat with people. It's very cool. I want to remind everyone also that our sponsor, 127games.com, has closed up shop. We've had a very amazing relationship with them and appreciate all that they've done for the show. They've helped us to stay here on the air and keep on giving you new episodes. Of course, since they're gone, we're looking for a new sponsor. If you happen to know of anyone or if you happen to be a potential sponsor, just send me an email, jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. Love to work with you. Sponsorship is very, very affordable, or because I am saying so myself. But we have three different levels of sponsorship here. We have gold sponsor level. It's $250 per year plus PayPal fees. A silver sponsor level is $125 per year. And a bronze sponsor level is $75 per year. I have full details about these, about what you get. You get ads on the show and ad on the site and all that kind of stuff. But I have that plus, you know, details about how many people listen to the show and everything. If you're interested, send me that email, jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. I'd love to work with you and find ways to help get your message out to the Wargaming Recon community. And then I want to talk about Patreon. So I want to thank all of my backers on Patreon, because without you, Wargaming Recon would not be possible. As a thank you for all of you, I am releasing episodes of Wargaming Recon to my Patreon backers before anyone else. So Wargaming Recon will always be free. You don't have to back the show on Patreon or anywhere else. You still get the same great content for free. But if you happen to want episodes before other people, or if you happen to feel that you get value from here, you think I'm as entertaining or worth your time, you can just think of Patreon as like a tip jar. You go to the coffee shop, right? You buy yourself a cup of coffee. There's that tip jar there. You put some money in as a thank you for the service. Think of Patreon as a tip jar for Wargaming Recon. If I give you value, if you find something worthwhile out of this for less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can back the show for an entire month. It's as little as a dollar an episode, roughly two episodes a month, so roughly $2 a month. Just your way of saying thanks for what's going on here. And I want to thank the newest Patreon backer. I want to thank Aaron for coming on board as a backer at Patreon and just say thank you so much. Like I said, all Patreon backers get episodes before everyone else. And we also just met the very first goal here, which allows us to upgrade our web hosting. So that means the show notes will be up or online or available more often. We had some trouble with that recently through no fault of our own. There was a denial of service attack at our web host, but this is going to help us with that. And we're also $3 away from reaching the next goal. So if three of you happen to back at a dollar each, we meet the goal. Or if one of you chooses to back at that $3 level, we meet the goal. The goal is a robot army will edit the podcast. This will allow me to sign up with a great service that will then make the podcast sound better. It does things like improves the audio, removes any ums and ahs and all that kind of stuff. It just does really cool stuff. It won't cost a whole lot to get there. And if you happen to back at the $3 level, you will be mentioned by name in every single episode of the show where you back at that level. So if you back for a year, I'm going to mention your name, Joe Schmo, whoever, you know, thank you so much for your support. So you can get your name in every single episode that way at the $3 level. It just something to keep in mind. When Aaron backed the show here on Patreon, he sent me a message and he said, quote, "I listen to loads of gaming podcasts, but if I'm going to support any of them, I'm going to start with Wargaming Recon," unquote. So that just goes to tell you there's a lot of other content out there that you can support. But if, like Aaron, you feel that there's value here that you're receiving, why not start with Wargaming Recon? Why not add Wargaming Recon to the other list that you back? It's so affordable. As little as $1 an episode, $2 a month, less than a cup of coffee. You can't beat that. You can do that by going to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. I actually have a new video up there for potential backers. You can see about what your support would do. So hopefully you'll have a chance to check that out and like that. And then just remind you all, the episode guide is a cool way to see what upcoming show topics will be. You can watch whenever I do a live stream and I advertise that and it's on the live page, but not everything is live. So you can also just kind of see what potential guests will be coming up, what topics and all that sort of stuff. So for example, the next episode will release on Monday, July 20th, 2015. It will be episode 140, How to Survive Your Friendly Local Game Store Closing, with special guest Aaron Boschian. And it's a cool way to stay up to date with that. And also, I want to remind everyone that I release more time-sensitive information. I talk about stuff on the show, and it's a full-fledged, it's a full experience, right? But if you want to connect with me through social media, you can find out about things that are going on, maybe last-minute sales that I come across, or deals, or games I'm playing. I share photos and all that kind of stuff. Or if we're going through some technical difficulties, like we were with that denial of service attack against our web host. I happened to mention that on Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And I was able to let people know about that. So if you at that time had tried to get to the website and had trouble, you wouldn't think, oh, they're just dead or whatever. You know what the reason was. So be sure to connect with us on that. And then just above all else, I know I'm throwing tons at you, but just remember the show notes. WarGamingRecon.com/WR139. That's WarGamingRecon.com/WR139. Connect you to the show notes where everything I've talked about in this episode, you'll have access to. There'll be links and all sorts of stuff. So you don't have to worry about remembering anything. You can just get that. So no matter what you do in your life, no matter how much time's going on, how many magazines you're reading and how many things you're subscribing and you're circling and games you're gaming, you have to remember one thing. No matter what's going on, you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
You're a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer, then you need to tune into the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner, at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.